where Jack read to you in Nahum, I want to look at verses 2 through 7. And there's five things in these verses we want to talk a little bit about, Lord willing. First of all, verse 2, it says God is jealous. God is a jealous God. And in verse 3, it says he is slow to anger. He is great in power. He will not at all acquit the wicked. And the Lord hath his way. And in verse 7, it says the Lord is good. So these are the attributes. These are the attributes that's recorded here in these first seven verses concerning God, the God of the Bible, the Holy God. So, and an attribute of God is a noble character, a noble character. The attributes that we have according to our nature are sinful attributes because we're sinners inside out, through and through. We're not sinners because we do something. We do something because of who we really are. And so that's God. That's the character of God. God has all these characteristics. They are attributed to God only. So we speak of attributes as belonging to God, right? We are speaking of those things which are essential to His being. These things are not essential to our being. Only thing that's essential to our being is sin. You see what I'm saying? These things belong unto God and to God alone. Even when you're talking about His jealousy, it's a holy jealousy. God is jealous over His own holiness. Henry said holiness is His chief attribute, and all other attributes apply to who He is. Holy. God is holy. So we're speaking of those things which belong only to God only, without which He would not be God. See that? If He don't have these attributes, then He's not God. But this is God we're talking about. So in these six verses here that we're talking about, the verses of the inspired Word of God by the grace of God, the prophet Nahum gives us six distinct things that are attributed to God, six attributes of God. God is a jealous God. God will not share His glory. He will not share His holiness. He will not share His attributes with others. He will not share His glory with sin. You see what I'm saying? He will not share it. The only way that a sinner can ever be justified before God is through the person of His Son, by the grace and power of God, by God only. Jealousy of God is not a fault. It's not a fault of God. Jealousy with us, we can call that a fault, can't we? We're jealous. We attribute it to ourselves more than we do to others, don't we? That's our nature. Well, God is a jealous God, and He will not share His attributes with any sinner, with any sinful man. It's an attribute. Jealousy is an attribute of God. It's right for Him to be jealous. It's right. Right for Him to be jealous. You know, man by nature he's against God. That's his nature. That's who he is. He's against God in his sin. Sin is his attribute. Sin is man's nature. But God, who is jealous, this is not an imperfection of God. He is has a perfect jealousy. He's jealous of his own holiness. You see that? He will not share his glory. He will not count to man to be holy apart from his designated factor or his designated one that he in whom he is accepted. He is a perfect God. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift. See, everything good is from God. Everything evil is from Satan, from man, right? All goodness belongs to God. We get exalted in ourselves, don't we, by our nature. And we get to thinking we're pretty good people, and we do good things, and so on and so forth. But not so. Even our righteousness, the best deed we ever done, is not counted in Christ as nothing but filthy rags. Filthy. Because of who we are. God is jealous. He has a holy jealous. He's perfect. Every good gift comes from Him. Every perfect gift. Why? Because God is perfect. Whatever God does is perfect. When God creates grace in you, that's perfect. It's perfect. Every gift is from above. Everything that's good comes from God. Everything cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Hebrews 13:21 says, make you perfect. Who makes you perfect? You're not perfect in this flesh. I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're accounted before God as though you had already entered into glory in the mind and purpose of God. You are perfect in Christ, and only in Christ. God is perfect. What God does is perfect. You're perfect in every good work, as Roland talked about. If you've got the right attitude for what you're doing, if God has given you a spiritual attitude, a right attitude, a heart attitude, and you do out of faith and love in Christ, then that work in you is a perfect work, right? You might not fulfill it perfectly because of the flesh, but that's a perfect work of God that's given you. He's given you grace. He's implanted in you the Holy Spirit. He's given you the desire. He's given you the will, and therefore, you are using it for His glory with the right attitude. So, He makes you perfect in every good work to do His will. See that? Working in you that which is right and well-pleasing in His sight. How? Through Jesus Christ. We're perfect through Christ and in Christ, right? And when God works grace in your heart, He puts Christ in your heart and in your life, and you perform for His glory, it's God working in you that which is right to do His good pleasure for His glory. Man don't look at what he has done and say, I'm justified before God because I'm not a bad person. I go to church, I go to Sunday school, I study God's Word. I do all these things. I'm not a bad person. And if something would happen to me, I believe, because of my life, that God would receive me. No, you are a bad person. That's a bad thought. To think that you're good enough for God to receive of and in yourselves. You see that? Not knowing Christ. You're the substitute for His people. Well-pleasing in His sight through Christ Jesus, our Lord, ain't He? Ain't we? Through Christ. To Him, to God, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Hebrews 5:9 says, and being made perfect, Christ was always perfect. Now, that's what he's talking about here. He was with the Father eternally, wasn't he? Before the foundation of the world, he stood as a lamb slain, as though he'd already been slain. He was sure to be slain for the sins of his people. to put away the wrath of God against them. But he was being made perfect. He became a man that he might represent, take the place of and represent man by his perfect obedience under God's holy, holy law. God is holy. This law must be honored. This law must be satisfied. And Christ honored God's law. In perfection, he who is holy became us, became a man without sin, took upon him our nature without sin, and did for us what we could not do, and served God on our behalf as our representative, didn't he? He obeyed God's law to every jot and tittle. I can't imagine that, can you? I don't know of a jot and tittle, do you? I'm so sinful. But he obeyed God's law to every jot and tittle. And by his obedience of life, he satisfied God in his keeping and honoring his law. And that wasn't the end of it. We're still sinners, and sin must be accounted for. He had no sin, and he served God's law perfectly on our behalf. But we disobey God's law. We sin against God continuously because of our nature, don't we? So when he took our nature and obeyed God's law, he went to the cross of Calvary to suffer the penalty, the justice of God against us, to satisfy not only the law, but the law and justice. You see that? And died in our room instead, and satisfied the wrath of God against us. And this is the only way it is. God is jealous. You see that, what I'm saying? God is jealous. This is the way God has it, and this is the way it is. And this is the way that a sinner comes to be accepted of God, is in Christ. That's the only way. The law could make nobody perfect. The law made nothing perfect. But the bringing in of a better hope did. See, Christ, he honored that law. He served under God as a substitute, didn't he? And he, in him, only in him, are we perfect before God. We shall be made like him, but only in him. The bringing in of a better hope did. All those old high priests and those sacrifices and those burnt offerings and all these just pointed to the one to come. They did these things looking to whom they pointed. You see that? And when he was come, he was the bringing in of a better hope. And these things could not justify us before God, could they? Could not justify those people. They were only justified in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he came, he put an end to this. They no longer go by the law anymore and do those things pointing to Christ. Christ has already come. He whom these things pointed to has come. And he's coming back again in God's appointed time. So this is by the will of God, we're made perfect through the Lord Jesus Christ. It became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. You see that? In bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect. He was, as I said, he's already perfect. But God, when he come as the substitute and represented his people and died for his people, the captain of their salvation had been performed in that regard. So this is a perfect work of God through Christ and in Christ and by Christ, you see? We're perfect in Christ. Nothing can be added to you if you're in Christ. Nothing taken from you. What he did is forever. What God does is forever. What Christ performed is done. He's not coming back again to do all of this thing and putting away sin all over again. It's been put away. In Ephesians 4:13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. You see that? the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. God's people know they're not perfect in themselves, but they know for a fact they are perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've come to that knowledge by the grace and power of God, ain't they? They see Christ, their substitute. Their faith rests is only in Him. Faith don't look back. Faith looks to Christ, don't it? Huh? It does. We're perfect in Christ. He became a perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're perfect in Christ. He became us, didn't He? He represented us. Now, through Him and by Him, we are perfect before God. 1 Corinthians 13:10 says, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. We're still in this flesh, ain't we? But Christ has come, ain't He? And He's coming back, right? And when we enter into heaven, you know, when we die, our spirit goes back to God. But when He comes back to receive the body, He receives a perfect body, like unto His glorious body. I can't understand that, can you? But that's the way it is. And he that believeth shall not be damned. Why? Because he has faith in Christ. Is he saved because he had faith? No. He's given faith because he's saved. God saved him. He gave him faith. He looks to Christ. He rests in Christ. He dare not look to himself for anything. Anything. You know, we come to church and if we ain't careful, we'll get wrapped up in coming to church. You're not saved because you come to church. But you come to church because you're saved. You see that? You don't come to serve God in that regard in order to be this or that. You come to worship God. You don't come to get God to love you. You come out of love to Him. You see, it's altogether different from what the religious world's looking at, ain't it? It is. Any assault upon God, upon His person, any resistance to His will, any rebellion against His rule, any objection to Him is sin. It's evil. And it must be punished. But our sins were punished in Christ. We know that. But yet, if we ain't careful, we'll get the wrong attitude at times. Won't we? We will. We'll get the wrong attitude at times. And we'll be looking to the flesh instead of the Spirit. I'm telling you the truth. That's who we are. That's what we're subject to. So, God will avenge His elect, yes. He will avenge the honor of His name. And God works in the hearts of His people in honor to Himself. God will not allow men to stay in this condition. His people, I'm telling you, we might be drift off at times, but God will not allow such things. And God will not allow men to be made righteous, to declare themselves to be righteous because they who they are. God is a jealous God, and He will not share His holiness. See that? He will not share His holiness. We look to Christ by God's grace in Christ. We see God's glory and God's holiness in His Son. But we don't see it in here. No. If you have the right attitude, the right heart, the right mind, you look to Christ. You look to the holiness of God Himself. Yeah, you're counted holy in Christ, but only in Christ. Romans 1:8 says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. See that? That's all we are. Ain't it? By nature? Who hold the truth in unrighteousness, but those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Those who are centered on false attitude, false doctrine, and so on and so forth. Do you see that? The wrath of God is revealed to heaven against such one. Because why? Because man has put salvation in their own hands. See that? And because of who they are and what they do, God will receive them. No, that's not so. God's a jealous God. You see that? God will not accept anything any less than His own self. He's a jealous God. God will not give glory to man, to men, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not. He will not give any glory to men at all. We're glorified in Christ the only way. We don't have any glory of ourselves. None whatsoever. We look to the glory of God in Christ. We see God's glory in His Son, don't we? Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Lord, help me to honor Thee. Help me to magnify Thee rightfully and truthfully in my heart. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. He's jealous, ain't he? Psalm 23:3, David said, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. See that? David didn't look to himself. David looked to God in Christ, didn't he? For His name's sake. He leads me that way for His glory, for His honor. Not for me to exalt myself, and I won't if God leads me. See what I'm saying in that regard? Hebrews 16 says, For God is not unrighteous for God to share His glory. You see what I'm saying? He would have to be unrighteous. He will not share His glory. He's not unrighteous. And it says in Hebrews 16, He's not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor. When God places a work in you, you see what I'm saying? When He places the attitude, the heart, the faith, the love in you, when things is done according to His power and Spirit, by His grace, then He receives them through Christ, right? He receives them. Christ presents them to the Father and Himself. But God's people, Roland, you said, we don't work to be saved. God's people do labor, but they're labels of love, or labors of love. You see that? Labors of faith. For the glory of God in Christ. But they don't look to themselves and try to receive anything because of what they did. No. They serve Him because they love Him. But they have faith in Him. They show honor and glory to His name. You see that? In their heart. Which you have showed toward His name. In that you have ministered to His saints and do minister. That's talking of the Apostle Paul, who ministered, as Roland talked about, to the saints of God. He ministered unto the name of Christ, didn't he? To the name of God. So the Lord will not share His glory. The Lord God is a jealous God. He's holy, holy, holy jealous. You see what I'm saying? He's slow to anger. That's the next attribute we're going to look at. He's slow to anger. Have you thought about this world? God has a purpose, don't He? He created Adam. All of us are descendants from Adam, right, in this world? He has a purpose in His grace. God also has a purpose in His wrath. You see what I'm saying? God is glorified. God's going to be glorified, the way I see it now, by every human being upon the top of this earth. He's going to be glorified. When all these hucksters and false religionists come before God, they're going to see God as He is. They're going to see Him who is holy, holy, holy. And they're going to see themselves, I believe, for what they really are. In their false religion. I was wrong. God alone is holy. I thought I could be a good person, but God alone is holy. You believe they ain't going to see God? They're going to see God. And he allows this, don't he? He's going to get glory out of all. But he allows this evil. And I think about the evil in this world, and if we ain't careful, we'll get stooped and trying to pinpoint it and look at it. You know what I'm saying? But God's in control. God's in control. He's slow to anger. He's allowed all this evil to take place to bring about his will. It's already been prescribed. His good and perfect will in his eternal glory. And it'll come to pass just like God has purpose for it to do. He either works it or allows it. You see what I'm saying? God is not evil because he allows it. The person is evil because of who he is and what he did. God just let him go. You see that? Just let him go and they'll do evil. We'll do evil if God just leaves us alone. So the Lord is slow to anger. Yes, his anger is going to come out, ain't he? He's angry with the wicked every day. And his anger is going to come out when his wrath comes down in his judgment. Yes, it will. This great and terrible anger of God, whose jealousy makes him furious? Can you imagine that? He's a jealous God. He's a God that's slow to anger. And his anger, he's a furious God in that regard. Righteously furious. You see what I'm saying? He's patient in this thing. He's long-suffering. Not only with those wicked people that's doomed for hell, but he's long-suffering with this wicked person. Long-suffering. He's forbearing, ain't he? He forbears so much evil in this world, don't he? He's in no hurry to punish sinners. His time is prescribed. Nothing will happen before its time. Nothing that's happening now, even what we look at, this evil, is prescribed, allowed by God for his own glory, right? So when we look at it that way, that throws a different line, a different attitude, don't it? God's in control. He's slow to anger. He's in control. He's the judge. He'll do what's right. He's in control. And when he's pleased, it's done. That's right. Judgment is his work. We judge, don't we? We look at things and we judge. But judgment is God's work. God does what he will, with whom he will, when he wills. He defers his own wrath. You see that? We can't bring the wrath of God upon nobody. Even in those ones with the most sinful attitude, that's just their heart coming out, that's all. We can't bring the wrath of God down again. We don't know. God can save whom he will, when he will. He's already purposed to do so, and he will do it.